This is Orlando. This is where we believe in magic.
Welcome to Zoneheads Orlando, the podcast of the Orlando sports fan.
They try to run her over. Fouché got it to go. Oh, Cole Anthony hit the deck for good measure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Zoneheads Orlando podcast. This is the UCF Report. As always, I'm your host, Sean Green. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We have a lot to get into today. I am back from vacation. Made it back from Alaska. It was a long day yesterday. Today is Tuesday. It was a long day Sunday. Got off the boat. Got on a plane. Had a layover in Salt Lake City for like 15 minutes. Barely made the connection. Plane issues. All that sort of stuff. And didn't get home in Orlando until 3:30. Didn't get home until 4:30. So it's been a couple days. But I appreciate all the positive feedback and love on the last episode of the UCF Report, and also the last episode of Charge On. Obviously, I filmed both those from my vacation, and a lot of people reached out thanking me for continuing to do work on vacation. I was going to do it regardless, but I appreciate all the love from all you UCF fans for that. But with that being said, we have a lot to get into. There's a lot of news that's come out, specifically for the basketball team that I want to get to. But we'll start with football, and this is going to be more of a way more condensed version of what I talked about on Charge On. So if you want a longer form 20-minute episode on UCF's newest additions from the transfer portal, I would go check that out. You could just search Charge On wherever you get your podcast, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever, if you want a longer form version. But with football, the big news was last week on May 1st. I can't remember when was May 1st. I have to go into my calendar. So May 1st was on Wednesday. I was on the cruise ship, and I mean, again, all day it was boom after boom after boom, and UCF added three huge needs to the roster. They also added an offensive lineman later on in the week, but when I say needs, it wasn't like, listen, you added Penny Boone, right, as a running back. That wasn't necessarily a need. That was if you can get a top running back in the portal that can give you really good depth, can really help you out, and potentially regarding, you know, again, we're not really sure. We think he might have 2 years of eligibility, but could potentially help you in 25. That's a huge time addition. Right, you get a big time wide receiver, Jacoby Jones, that a lot of people are wanting, and then you got add a guy like Sheldon Arnold to the DB room, who's a lot of people are saying can start immediately for the Knights, coming from ETSU. So, you know, all those things coupled together tends to, and this is what I talked about on Charge On, but it tends to favor UCF, and what the coaches are trying to do is they are in a complete win now situation. Right? Now in college football, you're always in a win now. Right? Because if you have two bad losing seasons, a coach can be fired. So coaches are always in a we need to win now, because again, we don't have a gap of, hey, we're going to develop these guys for 3 years, and then hopefully by year three or year four, they're going to be really good. That's just not college football. That's not college athletics. It's you need to figure out the best way to win every single year, and if you don't, you're going to be judged on those merits. You're going to be judged on those losses, and guess what? That's every sport, right? That's every sport. It's if you lose, you're going to be judged on those losses. Like, again, look at the Orlando Magic. Listen, we're in Orlando, right? 2 years ago, or now 3 years ago, the Orlando Magic entered a rebuild. They hired Jamal Mosley. Jamal Mosley, in that first year, they only won 22 games. Jamal Mosley wasn't really, the losses weren't a ding on him because everybody was knowing this is a 3-year process. We're rebuilding. This is going to take time. So the losses weren't as chastised or criticized is the better word. The losses weren't as criticized because everybody was on the same page that this is a rebuild. In college athletics, specifically college football, if you trot a losing team out there and you try to say it's a rebuild, you're probably going to be fired in 2 years. Now, UCF has never said it's a rebuild, right? I'm not trying to come out and say that UCF was expecting to enter a rebuild this year. But, you know, you go out and get KJ Jefferson. By all likelihood, the thought process next year was going to be who's going to be the quarterback? What's the roster? You got a lot of young guys, a lot of young talent. UCF kind of went out in the portal this year and got a lot of, from what we see, bona fide starters or guys that will be able to start and play immediately for UCF, as UCF thinks and the way it looks like is they are pushing for that Big 12 title. Now, with these additions, we'll see. I mentioned on Charge On, I mentioned it a week before, like some of the players that we've said might really impact and be huge impact players for UCF, there's a high probability that some of them, maybe all of them, are just backups for the Knights. There's a chance that that happens.
Let's take a quick pause in the action to talk about today's sponsor, Diamond Dog Athletics, run by my guy Nick, a veteran-owned and operated apparel and sportswear company that specializes in creating custom apparel for teams of all ages. I'm talking baseball, softball, bats, gloves, catcher's equipment, uniforms, hats, and hoodies, you name it. By creating custom high-quality uniforms that the players will love, they'll look good on and off the field. And by using the best gear and equipment on the market, it will encourage them to continue to put in the effort needed to make it as far as possible on the diamond. Take a look for yourself. You'll be blown away with what you see at Diamond Dog Athletics on Instagram, or you can send Nick an email, diamonddogathleticsllc@gmail.com. Back to the show.
Now, this season, I tend to think that's not the case. I tend to think a lot of the specifically defensive players that are transferring in are going to be most of your starters on defense. So I don't think it's going to emulate or mirror what we saw last year in the transfer portal, where basically all of the additions were depth pieces. But again, when you bring in the guys that they've brought in, the coaches are clearly confident. And again, the coaches are clearly trying to trot out the best team. And with everybody saying, oh, UCF is, they're trying, they think they have a good shot at the Big 12 title. I think every Big 12 team thinks that. I think every Big 12 team has confidence going into this season. But like I said on Charge On, it is very apparent that Gus and staff are doing whatever they can to fill as many potential holes as possible to make sure they are setting themselves up in a position to be in that Big 12 title game. We'll see when the season starts and the ball gets put down if all of these pieces that they added are going to make any impact. That's the question. We don't know. We have no earthly idea if that's going to make an impact. But when you're adding the players that they've added through the portal, starting with KJ Jefferson and trickling down to every player they've added since, you are setting yourself up. You are setting yourself up for success this season, as well as success in the future seasons. But again, there's a lot of factors that play in, transfer portal, players entering, who knows? But it's very apparent that UCF is in a complete win now, try and win the Big 12 title this year, and then keep hitting that roller coaster up. I don't think with the addition of Ja'Kari Brown and the quarterbacks you have, like, I think UCF is set up very nicely for the future, and we'll see how that all plays out. All right, let's head to UCF basketball. We have some UCF basketball talk. Now, if you've been following me for a while, listen, if you follow UCF basketball at all, this this was one of the least shocking things, if I'm being honest, as a UCF basketball addition. But again, the fact that UCF got him is huge. UCF basketball and Johnny Dawkins add Memphis transfer forward, J.J. Taylor. Now, again, in the basketball world, if anybody knows, we got Mikey Williams. And I said, if you want to go check out, you don't need to. But if you're wanting to get more information on, you know, Mikey Williams or the basketball team, go check out Charge On. I have a video when Mikey Williams committed. You probably just search Charge On Mikey Williams and that episode will pop up. But I said, there's a high probability that J.J. Taylor will join Mikey Williams. Obviously, both these guys committed to Memphis to go play with for Penny Hardaway and go to Memphis together. I think both play. It was his former teammate, I think, in high school. Then they, again, went to Memphis to play their freshman year together. But they're both sidelined due to legal issues and disciplinary reasons from Memphis head coach Penny Hardaway. They were both sidelined for those reasons. J.J. Taylor was listed as a four-star prospect by 247 and basically every single recruiting site that you can think of. He was a top 100 player out of the state of California. And again, he's a stud. If you go watch his tape, I mean, I think he's 6'8", tall, can shoot the ball. Mikey Williams and him had really good chemistry when they did play together. And again, I think Mikey Williams, I don't think, ever played for Memphis. J.J. played three games for the Tigers. I think this is the thing that a lot of people have come out and said, because obviously you have the Syracuse forward that got kicked off. Now you have Mikey Williams and J.J. Taylor that got kicked off. So you're bringing in three guys, and Benny Williams was the guy from Syracuse, and you brought now three guys that have gotten kicked off their previous team. And I probably sound like a broken record when I say this. First of all, this is a huge addition for UCF basketball. We'll see how it plays out. You're bringing in a lot of young talent, a lot of good young talent. Now, will it translate to the college game? We'll see. Will Mikey Williams translate to the college game? I think he will. We'll see how it plays out. UCF added Keyshawn Hall from George Mason. I think he's going to be a huge impact player this year for the Knights. I think you have to judge a player. You have to judge these players off of what they do this year. Not playing, but how they interact with the team. What is their, you know, how do they level up to being a better human being, right? Because there's so much negativity from the Memphis days with these two guys, and the negativity trickles in to wherever their next spot is, right? And that's with any players that you think have character issues. This is something that you look at. And clearly, there was problems at Memphis. And clearly, a lot of teams maybe wouldn't take these two players in. But remember what I said about Mikey Williams. When Mikey Williams committed, I said, if there's any team in the country that I think Mikey Williams should go to, it would be UCF. And for the main reason being that Johnny Dawkins is the coach. If there was any other coach, probably would say, eh, I would hold off. But Johnny Dawkins, I think, is the right man and coach for these two guys. Not say, and again, we can only read what we read in the headlines. We don't know their character outside of the headlines that we read. But if there's anybody that can change the narrative and turn two guys' public persona and change that public mindset, it would be Coach Johnny Dawkins. So I think adding a guy like J.J. Taylor, again, big-time talent, along with Mikey Williams, and the kind of the roster that's getting built, again, we'll see how it goes. You can't put pressure on it. Because let's call, in my opinion, I don't think Mikey Williams starts. I don't think J.J. Taylor starts. I think both these guys are coming off the bench next year. So you have two basically freshmen coming off the bench. See how it goes. Again, you have nothing to lose if you're UCF. If you're Mikey Williams and J.J. Taylor, you have everything to lose. You had a bad start at Memphis. A lot of drama. This is your second chance. You're at a Power Four program. You're playing in the best basketball conference in the country. How do you respond? And I think for UCF, it can only be positive. I think it can, and if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But it is a win-win situation for UCF. It is a win-win. You get two guys that can really help your team. If for some reason the character problems continue, it didn't work out, and you move on. But I think it's a huge and big-time add for UCF basketball to add a guy like J.J. Taylor and Mikey Williams, for that matter, to the team. All right, let's move on to baseball. Listen, loss to Cincinnati, right? Lost the series, was not happy. They didn't get to complete the entire Houston series. And I've got a gripe with Houston Athletics. I always do, but we'll get to them in a second. Obviously, UCF played North Florida on April 30th. They won 6-2 at Dusty Rhodes Field. Got back in the win column, 6-2. Then they were going to take on Houston in a series up in Houston, Texas. UCF won the first two. They won 4-1 and 6-4, right? So we're thinking, okay, they already won the series. Let's get a sweep here. Well, I guess Houston decided to cancel the game due to weather. Even though they knew there was going to be bad weather on Sunday, they didn't decide to make it a doubleheader on Saturday or Friday. They said, we're just going to risk it. So the game got canceled. So UCF only got to play two out of the three games, won both of them. Credit to the guys. They still won the series. Sucks that, again, they've had a lot of games canceled due to weather. So, it sucks you have another one. But you got two wins. That's important this week. Actually, tonight, they play North Florida again, this time in Orlando at 6 p.m. So, if you want to go on out and catch some baseball. And then this weekend, you have a series in Orlando against Texas. Big time series, especially for this team right now and where they are. You have a game on Friday at 6, game on Saturday at 6, and then game on Sunday at 1. All games at John Eliano Park. If we look at the standings here, Texas, one of the best Big 12 teams. They're third in the Big 12 at 15-9. They're 8-4 on the road, and they're 30-19 overall. They are a pretty good baseball team. For context, UCF is 11-12. They're just under 500. If they would have been able to play Houston, who knows? They probably could have got to that 500 mark. They're 29-15. Again, they haven't been able to play as many games due to a lot of the weather. But if UCF, listen, in the Big 12, they're 7-5 at home. If you can go out and just win the series, again, that's what we've said about this baseball team all year. You don't need to sweep. Just go out and win the series for that given weekend. And again, you don't have many more. You have Texas, and you have Baylor. That's it. Baylor's next weekend. So these two series are extremely, extremely crucial. Now, Baylor is the one that you can kind of feel favorable about. They're not playing good baseball. They're 20-26. They're one of the bottom half Big 12 teams. But technically, so is UCF. I mean, the Big 12 baseball scene is actually pretty good, but UCF is, if I'm doing math right, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They're ninth out of, 14? 11, 13? 13. So, I mean, again, you have Baylor next week, and we'll talk about that next week, but Texas is not going to be easy, but you got to find a way to do one at home. Because Baylor, you got to go to Waco. And we've continued talking about that, but then at the end of the month, you got the Big 12 championship game. And the Big 12, that's going to be a crazy experience for UCF to be able to see if they can make some noise in that tournament. But we'll see. Hopefully they can get the series win against Texas this weekend and go from there. But game tonight, if you want to go check them out, at 6 p.m. at John Eliano Park. All right. Let's talk about some women's softball. Obviously, coming off the series loss to Oklahoma, the sweep, we didn't expect anything from it, obviously. Listen, we said you're going up against one of the worst Big 12 softball teams in Iowa State. And listen, it looked bad for one day. On Friday, there was a little bit of a oh no moment. And they only played five innings because UCF lost 9-0. And I looked at it and I said, oh no, this is not good. They're going on the road, playing one of the worst Big 12 teams, and smoked them. Iowa State smoked UCF. But then give them credit. Saturday and Sunday, in six innings, UCF beat Iowa State 12-3, and then on Sunday beat them 4-0. So credit the softball team for being able to take care of business, handle the series, handle some adversity, which is crucial. Now, UCF is, listen, we're in tournament time. And it's big time softball here. Like we said, at the end of the day, it's been an up and down year, but you have to figure out how to play your best softball when it matters. Now, the Phillips 66 Big 12 Softball Championship is happening this week for anybody interested. Now, UCF, again, for having an up and down year, they're the five seed. They're playing Baylor. They're not in that first game. They get to rest because you got Kansas playing Houston. This is all tomorrow. Number 7 Kansas is playing number 10 Houston. Number 8 Texas Tech is playing number 9 Iowa State. So UCF already knows their matchup. They are playing Baylor. That is their matchup. They are playing Baylor in the first round. Now, the problem with that is in the three games in Waco, UCF lost all three. They lost all three to Baylor. In the one time that they played this year in that series, they lost all three. Now, the positive. Here's the positive. Positive is, again, in every single game, they lost by only one run. First game, they lost 2-1. Second game, they lost 1-0. Third game, they lost 1-0. So the positive is they have a good chance to go out and get a win, right? It's a neutral. I don't even know where. I got to figure out where this is. Where the Phillips Big 12. Oh, Oklahoma City. So again, it's a neutral field. Neutral field, neutral site. That's going to be 7:30 p.m. I think. I'm trying to think of the actual time. Again, I'm 3 hours behind, or technically 4 hours behind still, when it comes to times right now. But I think UCF might have it on their site. 8:30 p.m. 8:30 p.m. on Thursday, UCF takes on Baylor. It'll be on ESPN Plus if you want to go check it out. But I think if you win, you advance. I think it's a one game, you win, you advance. And they would take on the winner of the Texas and whoever wins the Texas Tech-Iowa State matchup if they were to win. So, listen, we'll see what happens. It's exciting. Hopefully, the Knights can make a little bit of a run. Be nice to see. But check that out on Thursday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to see women's softball make a run in this tournament, hopefully. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for this week's episode of the UCF Report, probably one of my longest episodes. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please like, follow, subscribe, share, do all that you do. We greatly appreciate it. If you want even more UCF content, go check out Charge On, a UCF football podcast. Wherever you get your podcast, please subscribe to that. We talk football every single week, and then two times a week during the season. And please follow me on all social media at Sean M.R. Green for all your UCF and Orlando Magic content. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. This has been the Zoneheads Orlando podcast. This has been the UCF Report. I will see you next week.
Today's episode of the Zoneheads Orlando podcast brought to you by Diamond Dog Athletics. Custom baseball and softball uniforms for kids of all ages. Look good, feel good, play good, and email them today. DiamondDogAthletics, LLC@gmail.com. We appreciate you listening to today's episode of the Zoneheads Orlando podcast. If you like the content you hear, rate, review, subscribe, and we'll keep it coming. Zoneheads Orlando on Facebook and on Instagram, the Orlando sports content that you crave. We appreciate you checking us out, and if you keep coming, we'll keep cranking out content. Talk soon, Zoneheads.